Thanks, Brother Bob, for your reading this morning. So as we've announced, we have our Brother Matt Neville giving us the words of exhortation this morning, and I'm happy to have him here, and I ask everyone for your kind attention. Brother Matt?
Great. Thanks very much, Brother Sean, and good morning, everyone. Good morning, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been blessed with yet another opportunity to remember our Lord and Master this morning. A blessing to examine in our minds and hearts the life, the death, the resurrection of the Son of God and what that means for us now in our lives and in terms of our eternal salvation. So this morning we're going to try to pull some encouraging thoughts starting from our daily reading in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And we will consider this verse 9 of chapter 8. Thinking about what it means to be rich and poor, what it means for us personally, and what is meant by Jesus being described as rich and poor, and how this state of wealth or poverty relates to the perfect sacrifice and act of redemption we have come to remember this morning. So we're really talking about two kinds of rich and poor. And the Bible speaks of both of these kinds. The first kind is what we might naturally think of, if I said to you that this person over here is rich or wealthy, or that person over there is poor, they don't have much. To be rich or poor is either to have or have not lots of money or possessions. The second kind of rich and poor is harder to define and harder to see. And we might say this kind is about spiritual riches or poverty. Or we might say a person who is rich in this way has something that you can't immediately see or understand, but that this is more important to them and of much more value than any amount of money or physical possession. So I just want to say a couple of things about the first kind, the natural riches or poverty, before we spend most of our time on the spiritual. And so brothers and sisters, all of us are rich. Every one of us in this ecclesia is rich when we compare what we have to what a great percentage of the population of the earth has. And even when compared to a great number in the community of Greater Victoria or the South Island or Vancouver Island, whichever you choose. Now, I don't bring this up to say that what we have is either good or bad. We have what we have, and that's a fact. We have all been blessed to live in a beautiful and prosperous part of this world. And this isn't our main focus for this morning, but I find it helpful personally and exhortational and encouraging to be reminded of the temporary blessings of this life, that I might not place too much importance on them or trust in them. So let's go back into 2 Corinthians then, and on to the subject that we want to spend most of our time thinking about this morning, the spiritual riches through Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, we are all rich in this way as well. Every one of us has been blessed with spiritual riches, and this is so much more important and vital to every part of our lives as believers of the one true God and followers of his Son. So really, the starting point of this exhortation was really looking at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, and let's read that again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And I really began trying to really dig into and figure out what this means and really understand what the message is when it says that Jesus was rich and became poor, and that through his poverty we can become rich. And so hopefully I've been able to understand this adequately for today, and we'll be able to pass this along to all of you. Firstly, we probably don't typically think of Jesus being rich in the natural sense of the word. And I think we would be right. He wasn't raised in a wealthy home in a wealthy city of Israel. In fact, he was looked down on and despised by many for coming from Nazareth and Galilee. So if the richness spoken of about Jesus is not referring to money or possessions, what is it referring to? Of course, it's riches in a spiritual sense, and we will come back to the riches in a bit. What about him becoming poor? Well, we know from Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, that Jesus says of himself, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." We know that during Jesus' ministry, he didn't have much in the way of worldly possessions. But Paul in 2 Corinthians is talking about more than this. In Matthew chapter 20, and I'll just turn there. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27 and 28. We read and are helped to understand what this becoming poor is. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And so Jesus is the most important person to have ever lived, and yet he took no glory for himself when he first came, but humbled himself and made himself low, as we read in Philippians chapter 2. Turning over to the letter to the Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, death, even the death of the cross." And so at his first coming, Jesus was rich in spirit. He was the Son of God, the Prince, the one who would be the King, the heir, and we are told that he had the Holy Spirit without measure. And yet he took upon himself the form of a servant. We have chosen this life of following Jesus. We have been called to a life of service. He perfectly showed us the way, humility and obedience being two of the keys for us following him. And now back in 2 Corinthians, and this time we'll go back to chapter 6 for a little bit. Paul is writing of some of the things in chapter 6 that he has endured and some of the things that we may be faced with or have already experienced. 2 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 1. "We then, as workers, together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. And so how is it then that we can be poor and yet make others rich? Or how can someone have all the money in the world and still be considered poor? Or how can someone who doesn't have two coins to rub together be considered to have everything? It can only be a state of mind and where we place importance. And so consider what it says a couple of pages earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so the riches that we can see and handle now are temporary and passing away. The riches that we cannot see with the natural eye, they are eternal and of highest value. We can naturally see money and wealth and possessions. We don't naturally see the spiritual riches we've been blessed with, but we can see the results of spiritual riches with the eye of faith. Let's go forward again now then into chapter 9 again. Chapter 9 now of 2 Corinthians and verse 15. The last verse there where it says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And this gift of God is linked with the poverty and riches of Christ in chapter 8, verse 9. This unspeakable or indescribable gift is indescribable in its awesomeness and amazing power. But it's not a mystery as to what the gift is. We do know what it is. Romans, the letter to the Romans, chapter 5, speaking of how through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and through one man, forgiveness of sins has been made available and possible. So Romans chapter 5 at verse 15 to the end. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment come upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the grace of God, in that he offers us the gift of salvation and removal of our sins, being washed clean of our sins through Christ, and eternal life together with him. A gift is not earned. We cannot earn this gift. What we do earn is our wages. We earn the wages of our sin, which is death. We deserve death, and yet we are offered forgiveness. We are gifted salvation and undeservedly given life. We have been given these riches in Jesus Christ. And Romans 10, verse 12 to 13 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And speaking of riches and the gift, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 4 to 10. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so here we are highlighting once again that our God, our Heavenly Father, is rich in mercy. It is by his grace that we are saved, and that salvation is not due to our own works. It is his gift. We have so much to be thankful for, brothers and sisters. We have been richly blessed in this life, and we are also made rich through Christ. We are called to a life of humility and servitude, to follow the example of Jesus, living with lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering. And as we prepare then to take the emblems, let us remember what an amazing Lord and Master we follow, the most amazing and complete example of humility and service, being rich and yet becoming poor. We are remember the great sacrifice that we might be made rich in the spiritual sense. And we stand in wonder and marvel at the wisdom of God, our Heavenly Father, that he gave his Son, that we might receive as a gift the salvation and cleansing and perfecting through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.